I like to give a lot of instruction the first few days and then shut up the last few days. Because I know too much instruction. You know, what should I do? Should I do this or that? And I just share really what seems to work for me. I find all modes of body awareness to be very helpful. And I find that the more if I do deliberate things to observe the body, breath meditation, body sweeping, practices of the heart, then my conscious experience of life gets expanded away from the tendency to think a lot. Like most of us, I mean, I read a lot, so the default mechanism for me tends to go into thought very easily, okay? And so then if the moods are in any way negative, then the thoughts are negative, and then the thoughts feed the mood. Not good. Goes on and on. And of course, I used to try to get rid of the thoughts. Also not good. So in body awareness, I found that if I begin to pay more attention to the body, then I notice the body more. It's natural, isn't it? The more I tend to incline towards something, my mind will default to that more and more. So if I do breathing practices not with a desire to become or get rid of, but simply to become more aware of the body, or if I do body sweeping practices not to get anything but just to become more aware of the body, if I do heart center practices to become more aware of the heart center, then as I live my life and I start to get anxious or just waffle on about some kind of complaint in my life or whatever, there is a tendency now more and more for a noticing, oh, what's the body say about that? The default more is like, what's the body doing? What's the body doing? What's the body doing? And that's incredibly informative, because those negative tendencies that I have don't feel good. They don't feel good in the body. The heart gets closed. The guts, the breath gets shallow. The guts get tight or whatever. And so then noticing that in the body, not getting rid of it through some kind of repressive measure, but honoring the body and then learning about those body's energies and then learning to be at ease with the body energies, that those tendencies then are relaxed and they tend to cease in a good way. Not because I've tried to get rid of them, but because I've kind of understood them. And so the body is an information system. It has a lot of wisdom in it. It has a lot of information, and listening to the body in that way is I find very helpful. And we tend to, in Western medicine or Asian medicine, there's a kind of maybe understanding of the body in a medical way, or we use the body, or we know how much body fat the body should have, and we worry about the body and all those kinds of things. But this is different. This is like allowing the body to speak to us, allowing the body to say something to us by being aware of it. And within that, so this breath meditation has been an attempt to try to get in touch with the breath body. Okay? And so you judge for yourself how helpful that is and where it can be useful. Also, I find it very helpful to be aware of the heart center, and these are all the practices of kindness and compassion. This chant that we do in the morning, the four divine abidings, metta, which is the general feeling of amity to all beings. May all beings be free from suffering. Karuna, which is the sense of compassion for those who suffer. Mudita, the sense of appreciation or gladness or empathetic joy for those who are successful and happy and in good states of mind. And then upekkha, the sense of peacefulness for the ups and downs of life. They're all based on empathy. And empathy is a way of it's a heartfelt way of relating to life, isn't it? Empathy. Empathy is not sentimentality. You know, sentimentality is kind of over the top empathy, isn't it? So it's not that. Empathy has a peacefulness about it, but it's a connectedness to a heart connection, and that can be felt here. It's not simply a kind of analytical state. And so I find that quite helpful, to deliberately come to that place in the heart, begin to feel that and recognize that, stimulate that, so that in the stream of consciousness that we experience, in my stream of consciousness, there'll be all kinds of events going on, right? There'll be happy events, sad events, and some of those events will be very heart-closing, such as anger or cynicism or self-disparagement or jealousy or all those kinds of aspects. And they'll be part of the makeup or the momentum or the karma of my conscious experience. That's just the way the thing's been conditioned. There's nothing right or wrong about it. My task then is to not get hoodwinked by those heart-closing things, because they'll cause me suffering, they'll alienate me from those around me, they'll put me into states of regret and remorse, it'll be suffering. So if I can cultivate, remember, stimulate what the open heart feels like, if I can do that in situations where I'm not threatened and it's not difficult, i.e. on a meditation retreat, then in that same stream of consciousness, there's a kind of energy now being stimulated, encouraged, which then will help me to be more aware of the heart-closing tendencies. So I'm not getting rid of anger. I'm not getting rid of jealousy. I'm not just judging it, saying, oh, you shouldn't be jealous and all that. But I'm putting other possibilities. I'm making them more conscious. I'm becoming more aware of that which is already there. So that becomes a kind of power in consciousness. So that when the others come up, there's a contrast, there's a balance, there's a strength to witness to those heart-curling things and not get kidnapped by them. And in a heartfelt way, it's very obvious. Intellectually, I can maybe notice something like aversion or complaining, and then I can just be averse to that. Oh, you shouldn't complain so much. Stop complaining. Your heart's still closed, isn't it? But at the heart level, you just know, oh, yuck. And you, oh, just relax there, just relax there. So it doesn't get into all that difficult to, you stop doing that, Viradhammo, that kind of inner tyranny that we have, an inner jailer, an inner judge, an inner controller, you know, all that stuff that just goes on and on and on. If you have a more body-centered and heart-centered way of understanding, then it becomes very apparent that self-hatred is still hatred. You know, if I hate the neighbor, and then I hate myself for hating the neighbor, it's still the same rubbish or the same stuff in the stream of consciousness. It's still this kind of tight feeling. And it's not just like a replacement therapy. I really love the neighbor. You know, he's really nice. The heart's still closed, isn't it? It's like you hate the neighbor, you're just trying to cover it over with a band-aid. So, but at the, you know, at the heart level, that kind of, well, no. So when the heart then begins to contract, or say with the breath gets like really tight in the belly, there's a whole way of understanding that and playing around with it and working with it, which is whose results become very apparent very quickly. Oh yeah, I see. And the more one does that, the more conscious one is of the body, the more the body will be informing us. Wonderful, it's really very helpful. The way the kind of practices of the heart are talked about in the text, they sound very intellectual. So they have kind of lists of people that you like, you know, you bring up a friend, and then a benefactor, and then a neutral person, and then an enemy, and yourself, somewhere in there too, hopefully. So you go through this list, and then you take all beings, and so so it can sound terribly structured and intellectual, but really, if I can recollect just one aspect of empathy, it might be gratitude, it might be the joy of someone's goodness, it might be compassion for someone suffering, and I can just connect to what that is, and that's it. I'm into that heart space. And then I just begin to just notice that and abide in that and encourage that. So it needn't be, so the use of thought can bring me to that maybe. But then that sensitivity is more like in here. Having said that, some people, what does he mean? What is that feeling? Huh? So don't go there either, but just kind of bring, what I'll suggest is just start breathing there. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. And if you don't, you know, if you don't feel like Mother Teresa, don't worry about it. Not a problem. Because any positive description, I know people, I want something there. So just if you keep it simple, just breathing and just stimulate that area. It has a good effect. And then I'll suggest to make conscious any aspect of empathy. So I use my mother, I use my brother, I use my friends and things like that. But it could be like gratitude. People find that quite easy to connect. Just a sense of being grateful for something in life, or appreciation. It can be joyous, say, like you can, when I notice like beautiful things, when something very beautiful in a family situation, or someone who is made happy by someone else, I really look at happiness. I really kind of, oh, that's happiness. Isn't that nice? And then I can bring that up in my meditation. So someone who it might be a child's happiness, it might be my mother's happiness. Let's say I'll think of something really neat to do with my mother or help my mother, and then I'll give her a book or something, and this big smile will come on her face, right? And I'll really look, that's happiness. That's lovely. And then in the evening, I'll bring that up again. That's happiness. But then I won't go to the storyline, because that's thought. Oh, her mom's a hand. Maybe I'll do that next year or next week. I'll do it, and then I'm gone again. Right? So it's not about storyline, but it is about just enough to make a connection, but then stay with the heart. Okay? So it's not about thinking about the person, because then you're in thought again. So it's like learning to bring attention, consciousness here or here again, in the heart, in the abdomen. And then you begin to also notice how the tendency, at least my, I don't know about your default mechanism, is just to go up there all the time. Boop, boop. And then you just begin to, I think I'll hang out about here now. And you see all the tension of thought and worry and all that stuff. And just you come down. And then awareness becomes more and more from the heart. As a natural kind of place of abiding. Abiding in the heart, yeah? Not as sentimentality, right, or some kind of squishy emotion, but rather as a very, very real kind of experience of life. So let's, with those ideas, let's give that a go.